include.
Most cities put that on the resident. That's why we do show you the cost of this program from a connection count, because we do run into hundreds of cities that decide to make this part of water rates that are administrative fees. They chose to. But when it comes to the actual remedy that we may find in a requirement, that would fall on the resident. Most cities will option to, at minimum, provide posted vacuum breakers to help with requirements and speed up compliance, because that's probably the most common one that we see from a residential standpoint. From a commercial standpoint, that is going to fall on the building owner to make those necessary adjustments, just like the backflow testing requirement falls upon the building owner to pay for the testing. There is no additional fee on our end to accept the test. We just become a database and basically a service to ensure that you stay in compliance with the rules.
And so essentially, like if I'm looking at this correctly, if we were to pay somebody to do this for the town, we'd probably need to pay two people. Let's say at $125,000 a year, that's midpoint of what was suggested. So this is like year one, we're 275. Year two, we're $500,000. So this, approving this, we're 364 to do what it would probably take for us to hire and hopefully keep and train two people. And it takes a little bit
numbers
of liability.
Numbers being right or not, that's
but that,
the
I mean, that's
here.
The
right.
theory
but,
behind
but
it, correct.
I want to kind of tag on to something that Director Belzer brought up, because it's a great question, and I'm not clear about it. That initial contract that we're talking about here, does that include physical evaluation of the completed project by the homeowner? Or is that going to be, is that a later, is that something
so
that's...
in here,
yes.
What's called a hazard assessment, then there's a reassessment. So the hazard assessment is going to
identify.
Identify. The reassessment is assuming it's coming back to take a look at
the
correction.
So that is part of this contract?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So this is
part of our services is to send out postal notifications for everything that you saw. So residents are going to be made aware of, when we plan on doing inspections in the area, as well as building owners specifically. We are then going to send out a notice specific that there are failed requirements. Residents will actually contact us directly through our water customer support. That's one of the big hallmarks of our program, to provide water customer support directly to your residents, so they're not calling City Hall or Public Works Department, and we are scheduling then essentially what we call compliance inspections to go back out and ensure what they did passes and that they are in compliance with not only the cross-sectional plan handbook, but any ordinances, rules, regulations, municipal codes that you added on top of that.
Director Belcher?
Yes.
I also wanted to address your question earlier. This does include the support and services of us developing the plan for the July 1st deadline.
Okay.
So it includes both the plan as well as the beyond work starting from years one through 10.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. I have some additional questions in terms of the length of this contract. So what is proposed here is for 3 years, it looks like, but the duration of time to achieve this goal or this plan is 10. So there is a propensity for this contract to be renewed for two more intervals, is that correct, in order to complete the project?
We will be able to complete all of the commercial hazard assessments as well as the re-inspections within a 3-year period. The state is looking for quicker timelines on the commercial side rather than the residential side, because typically that is where more of the high hazards lie within communities. Now for the residential, a 5-year contract will be us completing half of the compliance inspector of the hazard assessments and the compliance inspections.
Okay.
So it'd be two interviews.
Our expectation from the conversations we've had with district engineers throughout the state is that most cities that have above 1,000 connections are being granted a 10-year period to complete their hazard assessments.
Well, I'm just looking at from the perspective of the total cost of the project, And so we don't have a lot of commercial here in Discovery Bay, so that might be, that first hurdle might be obtained quickly. However, the residential, unless there's benchmarks in terms of, you know, going through these properties and assessing them, you know, this could be renewed at least once, maybe two times before the project is completed, especially if we have residents drag their feet in terms of, you know, installing.
Compliance.
And I guess also in terms of compliance, what kind of teeth do you have behind the enforcement, you know, policies?
I've asked that question.
What do you have? Okay,
Eric can answer that question, or they can answer that question. I feel like I'm in a tennis match here.
Ultimately that is upon you as the board to decide on what ordinances you want to pass to enforce the handbook. That's part of our services, though, is to provide suggested language that Aaron or Dina can bring to you to ensure that if somebody is out of compliance, that you have the ability, and what we see most often, you have the ability to shut their water off if they don't get into compliance.
Unfortunately, we're given the enforcement responsibility. So that may mean that we'd have to shut off the water if they didn't comply and the state would. And that's a whole other issue, legal issue.
So again, this just keeps reminding me of the ordinance for the earthquake valve that's requirement. And the analogy is exactly the same. It's a state, unfunded state mandate that there's an earthquake valve installed in every single house in unincorporated in Contra Costa. So the fact that the state's saying, okay, we'll give you up to 10 years to do the inspections tells me they're very loose on this whole proposal and this whole thing. The majority of what I'm seeing with the HydroCorp Corporation is the majority of the cost is in the hazard inspection. So again, I wonder, do we really need to have this hazard inspection done?
By law.
By law.
I understand that, but there's other ways of handling it. Again, in the earthquake valve, it's handled as a point of sale, a contingency of sale.
Yeah, but
so
what if you don't sell your house?
Yeah, we
like, what if I'm a homeowner that's been in my house for 30 years and I have all kinds of...
I'm glad both of you guys have read the state mandate to see. I haven't. I don't know what it says, and I'd like to understand
staff
it.
Has told us that.
The state has put it strictly onto the municipality.
I would
feel like... I was thinking maybe, you know, for example, you know, when you buy and sell a house, does the water heater need to have the straps on
right.
the seller, right? Would that be a good time to always do a hazard assessment from the county? Does the inspector come out? Do we come out at that time? It's not the state wants the municipality in-house to do it, whether they contract it out or hire somebody to do this hazard assessments.
And I believe, and I trust that you've done your homework on the thing. Again, I'm just trying to look at this. It's a lot of money. And if there's ways of shifting the financial burden to the residents, which to me should be, I'd like to explore, you know, the board to explore that option.
I agree.
That,
yeah.
That was our showing of that cost per connection and your choice to add that as part of a rate, which we've seen many cities do, or add an administrative fee as part of your water services at 92 cents a month or $11 per year, or I think it's $6 on the commercial side. You do have that choice. We've seen many cities fund programs like this across the United States that way.
Did we put this part of our rate studies?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was included at the last minute. I was just going to bring that up. It was included in the rate study. So in essence, they're paying that 92 cents. It's in the increased rate study.
Yeah.
To do this plan. Now, when it comes to the construction, that will be a different discussion. And we're thinking about doing something similar to like the water meter, right? So, and that will come out of the other day as
well. We don't know where we're going with that at this
right.
point.
No.
We really don't. In fact, we don't even know, and I was going to bring this up, we don't really even know whether we're going to set a standard that each house has to abide by based on a certain system. There are several different options on how to handle this. Where you install it into your system. Is it at the meter? Is it in the backyard? Where is it near the hazard? And so we as a board are going to be addressing those issues in the future. of what we're going to mandate. Am I correct here?
Yes.
What we're going to mandate of each individual homeowner to be compliant. And the state's telling us we have to do that.
So I have another quick question. So we have, we're looking to approve this, I'm going to put my glasses on because I'm blind, $369,292.52. That cost is not all an all up front cost, correct? Like that's going to be broken down. If it's a 3-year contract,
correct.
That's going to be broken down over 3 years.
Correct.
So let's say the state decides we don't need to do this anymore. Are we still locked into this contract? Or if year two the state says, forget it, we're done, this was a really stupid idea, are we able to get out of this contract? Not that they're going to do that, but I'm just asking what that looks like.
I'm putting that in the contract.
We will pay HydroCorp for the work they do.
Yeah, for the work that they do, but like.
I'm sure that the contract can be renegotiated, but I think it was 1878 was the last time the state made a mandate and then withdrew it.
It's true.
So
I'm being facetious.
I know you are.
To answer your question, your form professional services contract has termination provisions.
Okay.
So the termination provisions would allow for you to cancel the contract, and as Director Graves said, the consequence to the town at that point is to pay for these services.
That were rendered. Okay. Thank you.
I have to.
Please, ask
things.
Questions. I love your questions, Leslie.
Well, first of all, I agree with Brian. I would really like to see the state mandate. And be able to feel comfortable that I understand what the state's requiring and be a little bit more knowledgeable about this.
It's
I don't
in,
think
it's in the
is yeah. the
it's
actual
100 pages. So you could go make himself
report. Oh, okay, that's how I missed it. Okay, all right. So benchmarks, there would be benchmarks in the contract. I asked this a little bit earlier about commercial first and then a certain amount of residential every year or months. I mean, how would we measure the effectiveness of the work provided towards the completion of this contract in the first year?
It's broken down.
7 years, 6 years.
Oh, okay. And then indemnity. Is there some sort of clause within the contract that indemnify the town because we're outsourcing these services, is that right?
Yeah, so any contract relationship that the town engages a consultant, we always advocate and push and don't accept a contract without an indemnity provision, because if they're performing services on behalf of the town, those services are performed in a manner that's going to result in a third party claim against the town.
Yes.
We want to be able to get A, have that indemnity, and B, that
is
secured by insurance.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
Which is standard with all of our outside contracts.
Right.
Everything that goes to your organization,
right?
The firm.
Well, I'd like to add just one thing, just as far as the urgency of the initial plan piece, the July 1 date is really the date that is the urgent date at this moment. Then the state has given us this requirement as a water supplier to provide a plan in accordance with the framework that they put together by July 1. Failure to do that by July 1 puts us in jeopardy of being, you know, we have permits to be able to provide this water. So we want to make sure that we maintain our ability to comply with this permit. As far as this whole inspection scheme and everything else, you know, goes about, all of this input right here is very valuable to Aaron and his team as he's negotiating with HydroCorp to be able to structure this plan as we're implementing this plan going forward. So it just went to the point, you know, that I know that there's a lot of, you know, requests for information as far as what this mandate is. And, you know, I don't know what the timing of the HydroCorp should be from, you know, May 16th or May 21st today to July 1 to get together some form of program that's significant.
But that lends the question, how do we get here? How did July 1st, which is 40 days away from now, now we're our backs are against the wall here a little bit. How did that happen?
We actually had a cross-connection program put together, and I went through it. It was something that we put back together in 2019. When the state came out with a mandate, they released it July 2024, and I active the end of 2024. So a lot of municipalities and water purveyors are struggling to put this together. And I took a look at cross-connection program that we put together back in 2019, and it doesn't meet a lot of the criteria that the new state requirements are. So right now it's just a program that gave bullet points what those things that need to be required. We can submit that. It's really just saying, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and here's the timeline we're asking for. Then once they approve it, then we get to work making sure we do the educational part, the hazard assessment parts, and stuff like that.
So you're essentially doing your due diligence, looking at what you already had versus what the state mandate was, and we got to the point where what you have is not in correspondence with what the state is requiring.
Correct.
So,
and the amount of work it's going to take for someone to do that, nobody can do at this point.
And to make sure that Aaron had a grasp on this, I believe we actually sent Aaron out for training.
We did.
Months ago to understand and to be certified to be able to implement the program. Am I correct?
Yes.
And those trainings are only specific times, so they're kind of locked into that as well.
Well, so then based on what you just said, though, then why don't we just do the report and go and revisit it later.
That report will be put together by HydroCorp.
Right. So can we just take that portion out of their bid and find out what that cost is?
Well, so the program that you're submitting is once they accept it, that's greenlit the whole program. I can't just say, but the way they have it broken down, they're doing $700 per year. Whatever I submit to the state, they're going to come back and say, approved, do it, start now.
Well, but it sounds like they're very loose on the inspection time frame. So why do we want to say 10 homes a year?
I don't know where you get the idea the state's loose. The state puts down.
I'm here 10 years, but that's a long time to complete it. And it's,
well, they're reasonable, and I wouldn't call that loose.
Better than saying 3 years.
Well, and I think also, and maybe I'm assuming, but if we're submitting a report by HydroCorp saying this is what our plan is and this is who's conducting that, we have to stick to that. Correct?
Yes. The state could come back and say you have to tweak this and do this and do that to meet those requirements. But yes, whatever we submit, that program
has to be followed through to the.
Pretty much call it a contract with the state that you're doing that cross connection program. Yeah.
Well, let me ask HydroCorp this question. So are we over engineering this issue?
Yeah.
Or are we submitting what is minimally required by the state by the deadline in order to not be out of compliance? Anybody have an answer? Hello?
You want to take that call?
Yeah, so you're not over-engineering it, you're just doing your due diligence. From the feedback that we have gotten from district engineers for similar connection counts, we've received feedback that 10 years should be the appropriate timeline to conduct the hazard assessment. One of the other requirements within the policy handbook is you are supposed to have a listed cross-connection control program coordinator and specialist who is conducting the oversight and overview of all of the hazard assessments that are going to be completed.
Okay, Mikhail, I know you've already asked this, but I'm sorry. Can we push back on the homeowner and say, you are required to submit to us an inspection report showing that your house has passed whatever?
No, we have
the
to.
The state has mandated that we're with because we are the water department, we're responsible for it, not
the
individual.
Homeowner.
That's in
the
state mandate. It's on page 47 of the, I don't know, it's there.
So, you are half correct. You absolutely can ask your homeowner, your resident, to absolutely submit a report to you. On average, when we've done that in other cities across the United States, we see maybe a 10, maybe 15% completion percentage on those surveys. You also would then still need to have some level of ordinance passed that allows you to enforce them to actually do that. What we typically find too is that you're double spending your money. You're gonna pay somebody to do this survey work, and then you're still going to end up having to go physically inspect everything that didn't actually come from a mail.
And that's where the contingency of sale condition plays a role. It works on the gas shutoff valve. It should work here as well.
Yeah,
and
but what if you're not selling
your house? I don't
know
what a gas shutoff valve is, so I don't know. You keep saying that, but I don't have any idea what that is, and I don't want to know.
Okay,
it's not the time to talk about it because it has nothing to do with
you're right. It is not time to talk about. Okay, I'm just saying at this point, I'm not comfortable moving forward on this, so that's where I'm at. I'm going to bring it out to open it up to public comments. Do we have anyone online?
Okay.
There are no hands raised.
Is anyone in the audience wants to address this? So unless the board has more questions, I'll bring it back if you guys want to make a motion or continue discussion.
I would just reiterate the fact that we have a deadline that we have to meet to comply with the state before they start pulling our water license. So we may not be comfortable with it, or we may not feel like we don't 100% understand it, but we have a responsibility to maintain the water company here in the town and distributing water to our constituents without being out of compliance with the state and not being able to provide that water. I know it kind of feels like we're being bent over, but we are. And that's the way the state operates. It's not the first time this has happened, at least to me, the long time I've been on the board. But I get what you're saying, and I don't like it either. But you can't fight the state. And it's already in the rate structure that we voted on to move forward with. So it's not we're not going to go back and hit the homeowners with another fee. It's not like the water meter project in that perspective. It's already been included in the rate study. I think the number that we got from HydroCorp was about 92 cents per unit, a residential unit. Was that correct?
On the three-year plan, it was 91 cents.
Something like that. Yeah. So it's in there and. They are paying for it, but we're maintaining control of it so that we're in compliance.
I think that the bigger thing here is, like, we have a duty to our constituents to maintain our water certificates. And this is 100% part of that. And in any way, we don't want to have any risk at losing that. And I think the other part of that is we have a due diligence to the staff of the town of Discovery Bay to not over give them enough stuff to do, and I'm saying this wrong, but once we do that, then other things get missed and other things get bad. And you know, I think the other part of this is the compliance and the record keeping on it is huge. And so that takes that responsibility away, puts it into contractors' hand, and so we're following what the state's doing. We're allowing our staff to do what they're really good at. We're not adding more funding to having people do this and potentially leave. We don't like it. It sucks. I agree with you 100%, but I don't know what the alternatives are to that.
No, I appreciate your comments. My bigger issue is it's May 21st, and now we're being asked to commit $350,000 because something's due in July.
It's before the deadline. That's the whole point of a deadline.
I have a responsibility to my constituents to understand how I'm spending their money. At this point, I'm not comfortable moving forward. So if you guys want to make a motion and move forward, we can.
I'm not done yet. I have more comments to make. I think that the bigger picture is that also we have a responsibility to our constituents to provide a reliable drinking water system that can be free of contaminants. So although we look at this as an unfunded state mandate and they're throwing this weight on our shoulders to comply with, the ultimate goal is to improve the water system, making sure that it never gets contaminated and that we have reliable water going to the homes of every one of our constituents.
How about a compromise? Let's postpone this to the next meeting so it gives myself and whoever else is interested to do more research.
Yeah, but if you do that, then they only have
that's okay.
25 days to do it.
I would feel more comfortable with that. I would. I like that compromise. In fact, if I need to make a motion in order to postpone this,
we can postpone that motion. But
okay,
I mean, we can agree to postpone, correct? And
what's that going to do for us, time wise?
Table for a meeting.
Yeah, if you table it to a future meeting.
I want to know what the impact of that's going to be to getting. I mean, that's giving HydroCorp now two less weeks to accomplish their goal. So what's that impact look
like? Can I ask another question? Before we table or make a motion, can we make a motion to only approve for them to do the plan and then redo the rest of it at the next meeting? So at least we're giving them the okay to move forward to start putting that plan together, so we're not behind the eight ball on that.
That's a little dangerous. I'm going to say, just because if you submit the plan and let's say we don't move forward with HydroCorp, we're not staffed now to proceed with that plan.
Okay.
We don't have the ability to implement the second half of what you're saying. That's the problem. I didn't write.
Do you have the staff to implement the plan that you have? That's like, how much of the plan that you currently have is in compliance, and how much of it do you think we're way out of whack?
So the current plan we have right now is just the cross-connection program we currently have, which is just commercial. There's no hazard assessments. There's no anything. We simply send a mailer to that owner to have it tested annually, and they hire somebody to come out and test it. We get the results. Depending on those results, it gets retested, and then we just hold on to that record.
Okay.
That's the program.
What are the consequences if we submit a plan like you have established already and the state doesn't approve it? Does it buy us more time? Is there any penalties or jeopardies in terms of the licenses? There's got to be some sort of grace period in terms of, the state provides.
I'm sure they'd be a little lenient, but if they come back with a huge demand, say you have 2 weeks to now have this program put together in a certain way, much like they did this to us recently with the lead and copper service line inventory. It was a year to go to every home and verify if there was a lead service line. And that's something we had to go through detailed records and visit the sites and actually document that stuff.
But you had a year.
Yes, this is more or less also a year from when they released the line. We put together a plan. It's not going to work. So now we're
So in this 100-page report from the state, it spells out specifically what they're looking for in the plan. If you don't submit a plan that complies with what they're looking for, then it's just like not submitting a plan.
Okay.
It's 100-page. HydroCorp's very familiar with it because they've done it. That's why we're looking to them. I'll tell you, I did not read the 100 pages, but I understand what's behind it. I read enough of it to know what we're required to do. I didn't go into each individual section and make sure that they're, but that's why they're the consultants. And you have to submit a plan that meets the mandate of the state, or it's like not submitting a plan.
And what have been in the past for anything water related have fines been for, like our D-night stuff, if we weren't meeting the requirements or the deadlines for that? What were the cost?
I don't know what the fines are. It's usually like a $3,000 fine for when you fail, you have 3.
No, but I think I'm more talking about like D-night was very similar in the way that it was a mandate from the state. We had to meet certain deadlines to do that.
Our permit was going
to
be up, so we had to be able to produce. On the water side, I can speak that if you didn't meet a mandate, that we're talking back to water regulations, the state was going to fine the town $10,000 a day until they met the quota of lowering your water usage. If we were to be a fine, I imagine at that point we would then start finding the homeowners that were not complying to those water usage levels. So the state, I don't know what the fines are. I haven't heard any fines going out, but we haven't gone past that deadline. So I don't know what the state would come back and imply. Now I'm not saying it would be $10,000 a day.
No, but I guess what my point is the state has a track record of fining heavily for missed reporting, for missed deadlines. So like it or not, we are being mandated to do this. We, again, state protocol of way of doing things, don't know what those repercussions are, but we have a track record of understanding what they've been in the past. And I guess if we, my feeling is if we table this, then we're putting ourselves at risk for those kind of fines. And
well,
do we have the ability to pay for that?
The state can't take action on anything without notice. So if there's no notice in this 100 pages, which I missed that there was something here that I should have reviewed, that's on me, I apologize for that. But the state can't take action in terms of punitive or penalties unless there's been notice provided. So
my guess is it's probably in that mandate.
Well, that's information that we should know.
But we have staff and we trust staff
to do that. But you don't know whether it's in there or not. So don't speculate
I'm not speculating, but I'm trusting that Aaron
so,
has
so
done
So you guys
due
don't
diligence.
Believe the state has a deadline. You think it's just a false
I'm saying that she's saying that there's penalties in place. I don't think there is.
Okay.
My question to you is, do you not trust that Aaron has done his due diligence in looking into this and looking how it compares?
That's not what we're questioning. I feel like I don't have enough information to make a really a good decision upon this. And from asking the questions, I don't feel like that all the information is in front of us at this time.
But it is. It's in your staff report that you got on Friday.
Okay, well, Director, if you want to make a motion. Otherwise, if you guys are amenable to
we're going to be fed by constituents if we don't move along with this thing.
Yes,
Director,
just real fast. Obviously, we can't speak to specific fines that we see in the state levy in regards to this. What we can speak to is that the initial notice period for the new CCC handbook came out in 2023. It was approved in July of 2024. You've had a year to put this in front of them before this mandated deadline of July 1st. They are going to, enforce that deadline. We're writing dozens of plans and putting dozens of these programs in place throughout the United States, or throughout California. We work with over 600 different cities in very similar ways to ensure these types of plans and programs. So we've seen fines as high as nearly $1 million to be out of compliance. We've seen lots of grant money. So we've seen a lot when people, the state can essentially just decide whatever they want to fine you at this point. There's no specific dollar amount for a very good reason, because they can just decide how much they want to do based on your specific district engineer ultimately at that point.
Okay, I make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation to hire High Court to put together our plan.
I second that.
Roll call.
Director Belcher?
I abstain.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Reyes?
Aye.
Vice President Bucha?
No.
We have, for the first time in my 16 years on the board, we have massively failed our constituents.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Massively failed our constituents.
And we failed our staff.
Well, not all
because
of us are in the committee.
I guarantee you, you're not going to read those 100 pages, Director Cato.
Well, and you didn't either, so.
I didn't need to. I've already.
We have
you
staff
have been this is the first time I've even heard of it.
Okay,
yet now you want to guilt trip me and make me make a decision?
First time in my career that we've massively failed our
constituents.
This
is not the first
we're risking the completion of a project.
Okay, Director
Graves. Under a mandate.
This is the first time that I have had this information in front of me. I have not had the opportunity to sit on any water board or water committee to be able to get this information, and I don't feel comfortable. Now, if you give me 2 weeks to be able to review some of this and make an educated decision, I would feel comfortable then voting on this and making a decision to move forward or not. But I don't think you've given us the tools to make or, well, I don't feel like the tools have and the information have been given to us to make an educated decision to support the constituents that we have in this community.
So I'm gonna disagree and say our job as board members is to do our homework and do our due diligence. And this is not the first time this has come to the board.
That's nice. Okay, we're gonna move on to E4.
Excuse me, I'm allowed to have my conversation about it.
It's over. The vote has been done. We're moving on to the next item.
So why did you just gavel?
I gaveled the gavel.
But For what?
For
so
what?
You can,
you
so
you
I
have, the, you
so you're
meeting?
Not allowing me to have
you,
my opinion?
You, the,
so
you all expressed, okay,
to stay,
yes,
you
that's fine,
to
right?
Forget
you
it.
Don't have the right to do that.
Let's move on.
Do it. You, I'm moving the meeting forward. We
may let me ask legal counsel. Can
it's,
the,
it's fine.
Can the president
Kevin, it's fine.
Not
it's
give
fine.
The respect of his fellow board members to allow them to speak by gathering the meeting shut because he doesn't like what they're saying?
So the president presides over the meeting and being that there was a vote taken, can move on to the next item.
What's
so
the next item?
As far as whether or not that you can shut
I have director's comments I can make, though.
Yeah, comments and no
I think that's on the agenda.
May a motion be made to add this agenda item onto a future meeting at this
no.
time?
But once we vote on something, we
oh,
can't
no.
re-vote
future,
on the same thing, correct?
Future,
well,
future agenda items, you can ask to have it, yeah. At the end of the meeting, where it says future agenda items, we can ask, somebody can ask to have this brought back. At the next
but
meeting.
I thought once we voted on something, we can.
We haven't voted.
We just
well,
voted.
Well,
yeah, we voted.
Was,
it's
was,
said and done.
At this time, at
so
this
it was,
meeting.
It was 2-1 with an extension.
Okay.
So a 2-1 with an extension, you need a 3, you need, and for us, we need a vote of 3 at all times, but even if we have a 3.
Okay.
So given the fact that you had a 2-1 with an extension, it is a failed vote because we don't have the quorum. But if we want it on a future meeting agenda to preserve that right, you want to be able to reconsider and then vote to have it on another agenda. Don't run into any procedural parliamentary rules because as we vote on things, Director Porter is correct, you only get to vote on things one time. We can't continually
right.
bring back this item meeting after meeting after meeting.
But only a person that voted against it can bring it back. A person that voted for it and failed cannot. So Ashley and I cannot ask to bring this back onto the board. The only person that can is
Brian.
Can the abstention bring it back on a future agenda item or only a no vote?
So abstentions are treated as a no vote.
Okay, so she could also, Leslie could also bring it back on. So that's an interesting parliamentary thing to learn for us. Ashley and I cannot ask to bring this back as we voted in favor of. Only those that voted in, because otherwise you just keep bringing stuff back, right? So only those that voted against or abstained can ask to have this become a future
agenda
item.
And I think both Director Belcher and I have no problem that we want to bring
fine.
It back.
We
just wanted a couple of weeks to
understand
that's
that that's going to be your guys' responsibility. All right. I appreciate
it. And I apologize if I insult anyone. I was not trying to attack you.
I'm done. Let's move on. It's
9
o'clock. Let's go.
It's getting late.
I know. Just go.
Item four.
Amendment to the rate setting. Is that you, Dina?
This is going to be
Margaret. Margaret, are you still with us?
I am still here, and somehow I'm not able. Oh, there I am on the screen now. How are you all? I am here to discuss a possible action to approve an amendment to our scope with our rate consultant, as you know, Allison has presented to you on several occasions. This is a item that we initially began the work in June of 2023 with the board approval, actually July of 2023 with the board approval, but for a variety of reasons, we've had to delay our rate study because of additional project costs that were coming through, the potential of a commercial roundtable, putting a proposition onto our ballot in November 2024 that failed. And then ultimately, we were able to restart that project in the new calendar year, and that information has been presented to you. In review of her scope items that are remaining, including the Prop 218 process, and then some additional asks of her to include come and join us at our community event, she put together a proposal that you see there in your attachment. And so this request is just to modify her or adjust her her contract amount to reflect the additional necessary to get us to full completion through that Prop 218 process. So the request is to authorize the general manager to amend the contract with Chehalowitz and Sain, municipal consultants who conducted the water and wastewater rate studies in the amount of $7,895.08 for a total not to exceed $50,365.08.
A perfect example of this cost would be adding what we just talked about to the rate study at the last minute to make sure that it was included for future. That's the type of things that got added at the last minute so we could comply with Prop 218, correct? Yeah.
But it was already part of that, correct? That was already part of the rate study. Yeah, so it was
I think the point is that throughout the time there, we had several iterations, if you will, of our rate study that we were working behind the scenes. One of this is the last item. Others had to do with the capital projects. And so as new information was being presented, we did want to make sure we had the most contemporary information for the rate study so we can make sure that's included in the rate studies for both our water and wastewater. So.
Any questions? No. Public comments?
No answers.
Anyone in the audience? None? Bring it back for motion?
Move staff recommendation.
I'll second that. Roll call, please.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Kutow?
Aye. All right. Manager's report. Monica. Very patient.
Does it get used a lot? I mean, not having small kids or grandchildren or anything.
It's always busy.
I don't. Does it get used a lot?
Yeah.
Because it's a beautiful. It looks great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Look at those bocce courts. Are those bocce courts?
Those are our horseshoe. But that's the new lawn that we received.
Did you see that bocce over there?
Bocce's behind.
Okay.
They need a little work, but they're awesome.
Whatever happened with that additional $25,000 from the state? Is that still? We were going to use that for the, what do you call that?
We had to table that for right now. I'm sorry.
Well, it looks great.
It looks really good.
Blotchy, but we took a drone video so you could kind of see all the way around it. It gives a little better.
I'm really glad we sat on that wall when we did too. That wall's pretty cool with all the different people represented in town, you know.
It's held up well, yes. I'm thrilled that we've got in one area where all those ages can enjoy it one time instead of parents having to drive, you know, someplace else just for safety purposes. Then the next slide is the splash pad. We brought that to completion, so we've got that out there. It is open daily from 11 to 7. And the next slide also should be a little video just to kind of kind of give you an example. We have a little thing, a few things that we're still, you know, tweaking, working, fixing, but it is operational and it is used a lot. Even it was only 70 degrees outside.
It's packed into my drive by. What was the feature that you were trying to explain didn't operate the way you thought it was going to operate? Something about how the water comes out, or the rotation of the water?
Oh, well, right now everything's coming on at one time, mm-hmm. whereas, and they'll be coming out again to work on it. I want them to rotate, so not all the way, from a water conservation standpoint, you know, so that it rotates. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a great.
Yeah, they come out in different areas at different
right,
times.
Right.
And that also gets the kids running from feature to feature,
yeah,
too.
Right.
Would it be one feature of water per time? Or?
Well, we're working on how we can make that rotate. So I don't totally have the answer yet, but we're working on more of a rotation so that it goes in a sequence, which is how we had it before. And you can see in this picture, which I just think is such a better feature. Before it was a touch on the, they had to hit it, and you can see right in the middle now, it's about 3 feet tall with the blue and the yellow post. They just walk up and touch it with their hand. So it's a lot of fun, and they're out there. It's packed every day. So the next slide is just kind of giving you, and we have our QR code there for anyone that's out there that can sign up for the classes, things we have going on. We're gonna be bringing back this year. The pool opens this weekend for, it's been opened for classes and but for the family, the recreational swim. That is this big Memorial weekend, so Saturday it will.
How's the lifeguard staffing?
It's good. This weekend is a little tough because it's prom weekend and graduation weekend is always hard. So Cindy will be working all weekend. We work through that, so we're very fortunate to have her, and she's always willing to step in and take care of it so that we've got that coverage. But good, but it's well, yeah.
Well, approximately, though, what are we at as far as level?
For numbers?
Yeah, numbers.
We've got between lifeguards and our swim instructing staff, because it's different, probably 11.
And your target?
12.
Oh, so you're there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the next slide. I just wanted to show you the flyers we've got out on social media with the adult lap swim and what the schedule is there, water fitness, and all of these are on all of our, the website, Facebook, Instagram, all that. So we're in full force. And then the next slide, please, shows everyone what the schedule is, how you can get your skip the line and grab if you want to get a season pass for the pool instead of coming in and paying, you know, each $5 each time you come, and all the hours and fees. And the last slide, I believe, is swim lessons, which is already filling up. We've got several slots that have been and already maxed out, and we are adding. We've kind of shifted everything this year to allow us to bring in some more revenue and offer, because swim lessons is very important. We're a water community. So we've moved our water aerobics time up 30 minutes once school's out, or it's now, but which will give us more time to put in for swim lessons, both in the morning and the evening. So that is the QR code where you can get all the good information on that. And so we have for recreation. Is there any questions?
I have a question about Cornell Park. There's some round planting containers at the entrance on Willow Lake, and they do have irrigation that goes to them. Is there any plans to do with anything with those?
There is.
Oh, there is. Excellent. Can you share what your plans are?
Yeah, I had to get, we've got, as you've seen, a lot of projects.
Yeah.
And as we keep talking about a small staff, so doing those things are filler. It's really hard when we're mowing and doing weeds. That's a priority.
Sure.
So, but it's on my my list. There need to be kind of resurfaced. They're cracking, they're very old, and there is irrigation in there. So I'm most likely gonna put succulents in there.
Okay.
Because we need stuff that's low maintenance and low water. So, but when I'm gonna get to that, there is no way I can give you
Is there any way that the volunteers can be utilized for planting? I mean, at any, if you were, the materials were provided, I don't know if there are liability issues.
There is. You have to have policy. There's all kinds of, we've been down that road.
You have,
for years.
Okay.
And
sure.
Just being new, I want to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know that there's a garden club out here in Discovery Bay and, sponsored areas for landscaping. I don't know if that's been looked into at all, where somebody could sponsor a part of an area.
It's a matter of us having the time to. So I mean, we've accomplished a lot.
I know you
have.
In
a year, a lot. And I wish I could have everything fixed and done at one time, but it's all on a list, and we're chipping away at it as fast as we possibly can.
But that is something that you have considered as maybe sponsorship of a corner that or donating.
From a liability perspective, we can't do that because we have to staff it if that's going to happen, and we have to have the insurance and everything like that. So,
well, I'm thinking of sponsorship in terms of donations of money to, there's a corner that Discovery Bay owns, and like in the golf course entrance, there's beautiful flowers that are planted there. If somebody wants to sponsor a corner to have the plantings, to pay for the plantings in the town of Discovery Bay, plant them. Has that been something that that you thought?
I've never, in my 11 years, we haven't had any sponsorship like that. That I don't know who would make.
Well, yeah, there has been. We got the little bench out here that was sponsored and donated.
As far as what she's describing, I mean, like.
What about at Slifer Park, though? There's ladies who take care of that little.
That's through the county. That's
park. Got it. Okay.
That's
interesting. That makes sense.
Yeah. So they, any permission that goes through Contra Costa County.
You talk about all this life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you get someone who wants to sponsor Slifer Park, it sounds like it's doable.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay.
I don't know how the county goes about that.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
Okay. Thank you, Monica.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have a general manager report? No director's report.
Do we have director's reports and comments? I would like to just make a comment if I could. I would like to apologize to the rest of my board for my harshness. I get frustrated, and sometimes I come out as much more harsh than I meant to be, and I didn't mean to be hypercritical. I absolutely respect the wanting to be diligent and wanting to have the knowledge. Sometimes I forget that I probably have a little bit more knowledge on these things being on the Water Wastewater Committee. So I've asked a lot of the questions that you haven't asked yet, and so I just want to apologize to the board for being a little harsh there. I didn't really mean to attack anybody. So if it felt like that, I definitely apologize for that. Moving on to regional reports, I will share with you my last 3 days. We're up in Sacramento at the CSDA Legislative Days. And at that event, I talked to the 40% of the CSDs are water districts. So I did speak to some other boards I tried to find out whether legislatively we could do something about this unfunded mandate, but unfortunately, as I talked to Aaron, it's a board, California Water Resources Board mandate. It's not a legislated, so it's our unelected bureaucrats that are making these decisions for us. And so there's nothing I could do with regards to any of our legislators, but there were several items that the CSDA was in favor of. One of them was extending the sunset on remote participation in board meetings to 2030. It's currently ready to expire. And so it still has the same limited, you can only use it so many times a year, but if there is an emergency or if you are out of town, we're trying to extend that to be able to continue to use that post-COVID. Another issue was CARB, coming up with the burdensome and financial burdens that are gonna be on small districts with regards to going to electric vehicles, electric equipment, electric everything. They're trying to, one of the things that, that was in the bill that, we're, that the CSDA co-sponsored is excluding emergency vehicles. How do you have a fire truck that has to be on site for 24 hours and the battery goes dead? So that was not in the original provisions.
Yeah, CTA is also.
So there's a, I'm sure that it's being handled. That was another one of the big ones. And then the other one was opposing, it actually doesn't matter. It's not relevant to us because we don't have any union employees, but it had to do with unions and putting things out to bid 120 days in advance, giving the unions 120 day advantage over non-union bidders, and they were obviously opposed to that. So we had an opportunity to meet with her. We met with Lori Wilson, and we met with some staff members for Senator Cavalon, am I saying his name correct, something like that, our state senator. And we met with his staff, and then we had a great briefing this morning on grants and what's available, and there are some resources, and I forwarded them to Dina. There are some great resources available to the CSDA as part of our membership there that are non-costing to us, but we can get maybe get some help with some more grants. They swear to us that they're available, and it seems like every time we apply for a grant, we're told we're not eligible, but there were some good resources there. So it was overall, it was a great time, and it was well worth being up there for that. And that's all I got.
Awesome. Okay, do we have any correspondence? Legal report?
Just if y'all need any assistance in the, if you are looking to put that item onto the next agenda, I can
Didn't know. What a coincidence. Future agenda items. Leslie, do you have anything?
No, I would like to propose to add that to the next agenda. Do I need to make a motion?
Yes, yeah, so what we recommend is a motion for reconsideration of the original item to bring it back to where now we're at zero.
Okay.
So a motion to reconsider the failed item of approving staff recommendation.
Okay. I move, I make a motion to, and I apologize, I am really sleep deprived
so
right now.
I can give you the motion and then.
I say yes, I agree.
So the motion that we would recommend is a motion to reconsider the item to approve staff's recommendation.
E3.
Yes, I agree.
For E3.
Yes, I agree to that. I make that motion.
And I will second that motion.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Dr. Belcher?
Aye.
Dr. Porter?
Aye.
Dr. Graves?
Aye.
Vice President
Lisa? Aye.
And now you're at zero. So now that vote has never happened. The will of the body is to table it for the next meeting. Staff can take that as direction, so we don't have to go through another motion, and staff can have that on to the next meeting. Unless there's an absolute opposition to that, and if there is opposition to that, I would recommend a motion.
Okay, I request that staff put this, I can't even remember, I'm like 28.
Item E3.
Item E3 back on for next time for reconsideration, whatever it was.
First time I've been through that experience. That was new for me.
That, so I'm sorry, I didn't have my microphone on, so I apologize. So just to report out for the folks that are listening, the motion for E3 has been reconsidered and been directed to staff to be considered at the town's next regular meeting. No further motions or direction is that is required for this, unless there are additional future agenda items that the board has.
Okay, seeing done. Fun meeting, 9:22.